This morning, Lord just had me, led me to share on the topic of, it's coming up now, freedom. There we go. And a little bit inspired also by what's happening in town, although I don't see that necessarily as true freedom, what is happening there, till late last night. I'm sure this is a very tight-knit community. We all live quite close together, and so I'm sure everyone that slept in Franschhoek last night heard the festivities continuing to the early hours of this morning. And have mercy on the people that you find in town this morning after church. You might not want to talk too loudly to them or shout at them. They might be a bit sensitive this morning, so let's be friendly to the strangers and say, hey, next year maybe you should join us in the church on the Sunday morning. So, yeah, praise the Lord for that. Now, freedom, if you go and look up the dictionary definition, we've got two main ideas there. The first is that it's the power, the right to act, speak, or think as you want. And secondly, the fact that you're not imprisoned or enslaved. You're in a state of being free of shackles. And so there's definitely, that is a very important definition that the Bible wouldn't necessarily disagree on. And we're going to look just now at what the Bible says about freedom. But firstly, a few pictures there talking about this weekend's festivities in town. Well, that's an artist's rendition of the storming of Bastille, which happened tomorrow, 225 years ago. And that was the start of the French Revolution, which Napoleon then came and took over in the end. But it was the commoners that were being oppressed by the nobility and the clergy and ultimately the king. And when it wasn't going that well economically, and the king demanded even more taxes from them, and they had just had enough. And there was this uprising, but they, you know, pitched up there with pitchforks and this kind of thing. But they stormed the Bastille because there was munitions there and gunpowder. And so they needed to arm themselves, so that was a good place for them to start. And after quite some time, the master there at the Bastille actually surrendered to them, even though he only lost one soldier, and the commoners lost about 89 people in the battle there. But nevertheless, they overtook and overran, and this led to their freedom at the end of the day. And so a year later already, the holiday was instituted, and the French know how to party. And so the authorities at that point said, well, now we're celebrating freedom, all of us together, this new land and new legislation. And so kind of all... everything was forgotten and forgiven, and they carried on partying every year on the 14th of July. And so it's a national holiday, which also there's French having colonized many places around the world. It's also celebrated in places like the French Corner in the Western Cape and in many places in the U.S. I think like over 50 different towns in the U.S. that celebrate Bastille. And they even kind of reenact. They go big in America, anything for a party and to be able to put red, white, and blue on. And the tricolor, the French flag, was also actually came out of that their independence after this all happened. So their streets are lined every year. Tomorrow, if you got a satellite, you could probably watch their festivities. And there on the Champs-Élysées, they always have a military parade, which is the biggest military parade in Europe every year. And, they've got their jets flying overhead and all of that. And these days they seem to invite other legions and militaries to also join in the parade. So it's massive festivities. And then the fireworks, of course. So they go big. And it's been going here in Franschhoek, as probably most of you know, for, I think, 15 years, apparently. And it's probably just getting bigger and bigger. 21 years, okay. Sorry, my source is wrong on the internet. Someone will have to update Wikipedia there. So Yes, 21 years, and it's probably just getting bigger as Stellenbosch University also grows. It was a bit like RAG last night, or late afternoon here in town. But luckily, they keep the youngsters barricaded so that they don't fall over into the streets. Now, okay, so freedom. So the Bastille Day is now known here as a celebration of freedom. And if we're really honest with ourselves, what we see happening probably wouldn't, the fact that people are doing and saying what they want, yes, we see that evident. But as for being imprisoned and so on, I see myself of, 17 years ago, and I see people that are, many of them are actually shackled and getting into deeper trouble as they're continuing doing what they were doing last night and so on. And the fact of the matter is that you don't need to be in a government facility with bars over the windows to be imprisoned. That today, having done some work in prisons around the Cape and so on, I know many people in prisons that are freer than people outside of the four walls of a prison. They don't see the bars anymore because Christ has set them free. And the Lord is doing amazing work in prisons around the world. And then I see people on the streets that are imprisoned by addictions and all sorts of things, and sin that has enslaved them. And they have yet to experience the freedom that Christ has for them. And so true freedom is what we're looking at today. And so I've got a number of biblical Bible verses, obviously, for us this morning. If we can put up Luke 4, verse 18. This is where Jesus starts his public ministry and quotes from Isaiah 61. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Okay, so there's a key, firstly, the Spirit of God. "Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, he has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." Okay, you can see that with the Spirit of God, there is a freedom that the Lord is busy telling the people about. And this was, this was shaking up the establishment of the day, even though it was a prophecy from Isaiah, that the Lord here is talking about freedom, and he came directly at them, and he was busy teaching the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious establishment of the day, which were following the law of Moses, or trying to at least, and trying to show everyone that they were. And the Lord is bringing something, he's bringing it with a different angle here. And that's where many of us go back to time and again, because we need guidance in life. None of us could save ourselves. And relationship takes work. Today relationship is cheap when you look at Facebook and these kind of things. That's making it cheap to say, "Well, you're my friend. You're one of 1,000 friends that I have because we're on Facebook." Okay, Facebook is maybe a good introduction, or to find someone from far away. You can certainly use it as a platform to evangelize, and there's many good uses, but I feel that there's also danger there in terms of diluting true friendships, or actually sort of lessening our idea of friendship, or calling someone a friend, and we just start banding that word around. It's like the word love. I love my wife, and I love ice cream. Okay, for me that is true. But, in the same breath, you've got a true friend that you actually make an effort to spend time with and meet and see face to face. And then you might have a friend, or it's probably just more of an acquaintance, someone that you're familiar with that name and that face, and then we sometimes call that friend. But relationship takes work and effort. And so sometimes we find it difficult to actually work and grow in our relationship with the Lord. And then we regress to rules and regulations and laws. And we regress to ritual and ceremony and tradition. and we regress to habits, albeit good. So if I attend small group on Wednesday and church on a Sunday morning, then I'm okay. Well, the reality of the matter is you can attend small group every week and church every week, and your relationship with the Lord can be stone cold. And then things are not okay. Okay, so we need to come to a place where we understand that the Lord has come to set us free from the law, because that's what they had before Jesus. Okay, and God sent his son at the appointed time, at the right time. But his plan was always to have a relationship with us. But he first showed us, and we've got 4,000 years plus of history in the Old Testament to help us understand the price that Jesus paid for us on the cross. To help us understand just how depraved each of us are, because no one can keep the law of Moses. Not one of us can keep the 600 plus laws that the Jews had to follow. This is why year after year they had to bring sacrifices and offerings. But there's no way that the blood of bulls or goats could take away the sin of the world. This is why they had to do it over and over and over again. But the blood of the Son of God, the only worthy sacrifice, could take away the sin of the whole world. And that's why when Jesus, just before he gave up his spirit, he said, "It is finished. No more do you need to bring sacrifice. I was your substitute. I was the propitiation. I was the offering." And so we need to beware of becoming legalistic. And we need to realize that the freedom that God has for us is a freedom in the Spirit. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Let's go to the next verse there. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Let's say that together. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." There is freedom. Just think again of that definition of freedom, just that dictionary definition. So it's to be able to do and say what you want, and it's being in a state of not being imprisoned. Okay, now we're saying where the Spirit is, there's freedom. There's freedom. Okay, so you're saying that if I've got the Spirit of God in me, I can do or say what I want. And, you know, I'm not in a position of being imprisoned or shackled or incarcerated or anything like that. Freedom. Physically freedom. Inwardly freedom. And that is actually true. You can apply that. Because you give your life to Jesus Christ. You surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You make Jesus Lord of your life, Master. In other words, you surrender control to Him. You choose to follow Him and His way. You say, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, even though my flesh craves this thing, you say that is bad for me. You want me to do that thing. I will do that thing. I will sacrifice. I will give up this, and I will follow you in doing that." So we're saying that is freedom. Well, when you surrender to Jesus Christ, His Spirit comes and dwells in you. The Holy Spirit of God takes residence in your body. They say it's somewhere here. Okay, it's not in your big toe if you're trying to pinpoint it. Probably not there. Okay. Most likely, He takes up residence in every cell and fiber of your body. I don't think we can contain the Holy Spirit to one part. Okay. Some of us have a lot of Holy Spirit, and others have less. No. He fills you 100%, as long as you've got 100%. And when you've said yes to Jesus, you've got 100%. The Holy Spirit is present in your life. Last week, remember, we spoke about the other aspect, the anointing or the power of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Spirit. If you've acknowledged Jesus as Lord, you have the Holy Spirit. If you're still acknowledging Jesus as Lord. Okay. Because when the Bible talks about being saved, it talks about the fact that you've surrendered to Jesus Christ and you continue surrendering to Jesus Christ. Okay. It wasn't a decision that I took when I was in high school at some camp and now I do what I want because I've already said yes to Jesus. No. If you're a child of God, you're family, you're cooperating with God, you're following Jesus, and you're continuing to cooperate with God, then you're a child with God. Because the fact of the matter is we can't turn our backs on God. He will never leave you, but he doesn't force you to stay. You can walk away, but praise God that he's always there. If we had to walk away, and we gracious, you know, we have the grace to turn back by God's grace, if we find the time to turn back, if we haven't breathed our last yet, we can still turn back like the prodigal son and go and find the Lord. Okay, so just keep that in the back of your minds. To be saved means to cooperate with the Lord and continue cooperating with the Lord. Now, you have the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit directs the work of the church. The Holy Spirit is in you to continue the work that Jesus started. The Holy Spirit was on Jesus. Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He received empowerment at his baptism, which he did as an example for us in order to fulfill all righteousness. And then the Spirit of the Lord led him into the desert, into a time of testing. And again, it is written and is proven for us, Jesus was without sin despite being tempted by Satan himself and offered everything that he could. He was without sin. And then he came and started his ministry. For 30 years, he was just a faithful son and helper to his father, a carpenter. So that when he started doing the miracles, the people asked, but who's this man from Nazareth? What good can come out of Nazareth? They only knew him as the carpenter's boy. But now he was performing all of these miracles because he was empowered by the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that is in you and me. And so we might think, wow. But we've grown up in the world with many temptations around us, things that the flesh would crave, instant gratification, and the Lord would say, no, that'll kill you in the end. Go this way. And we think, wow, is that true freedom? That sounds hard. But when the Holy Spirit is in you, the Holy Spirit gives you an appetite for God and for what is good for you. And helps us in start giving us a bitter taste when it comes to the things that are bad for us. Our conscience becomes alive again. And should you stumble and do something bad, you know all about it. There's no way. The Holy Spirit, the hound of heaven, doesn't leave you alone until you repent. Because you know it's bad for you. We all have a conscience. But our conscience gets seared over the years of towing the line and toying with sin and seeing how far we can push it before we get caught out. And now, as children of God, our conscience is alive once more. And it means sleepless nights if we are walking on the wrong side. Sleepless nights. But there's freedom waiting for you. If you just go to God, God is not an old man with a big stick waiting to hit you over the head. He's waiting to embrace you. How did he respond to the prodigal son who squandered all his inheritance and lived with the pigs, went around with the woman and did all these things? Every bad thing that we could think of or do, he did. And he came back to the father. And how did the father treat him? Did the father have him beaten? No. When the father saw him coming, the father ran toward him. Even though it wasn't the done thing for an older man to run, the father ran toward him. And he tackled his boy and embraced him and kissed him. And called his servants to bring him a new robe and new sandals and a ring. You're back. You're part of the family. Your identity has been restored. You have a new future ahead of you. And the authority being part of this family is restored to you. And that was the Lord. That's what the Lord has for each of us. And that is freedom. Is living in a pigsty freedom? Or is being in the Father's house freedom? That is freedom. And somehow the world makes that pigsty look real good because there's a lot of people living in it. And they think they're free. And many of us have been in that pigsty before. And now we're back in the Father's house. And we can testify. We've got a story to tell. And we can say, but we've been there. We know that's not freedom. While you're there, you think it's freedom because you don't even know the Father or where his house is or if he has a house or a place for you. But let me tell you that he does. God is not a man that he should lie. And Jesus said he goes before us to prepare a place for us. There's a place for you. And heaven has already touched earth. God has come as a man, Jesus Christ, and he has shown us the way. He's paid the price. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's a place for you and me. And heaven can start now. So that as believers, living here is actually the closest that we're going to get to hell. And that's hard to imagine with these beautiful surrounds, but sometimes relationally we know life is hard, and there's heartache. Life is hard, but God is good. But sadly, to say that for the unbeliever, this is the closest that they'll get to heaven unless they repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ. And that is sad. Heaven and hell, the question is, where is God? It's about being in God's presence. And you can experience God's presence right here. Eternal life starts when you say yes to Jesus Christ. And then death. Where is your sting? It's gone. We don't have to be afraid of dying. It's just opening up a new chapter, a long chapter, praise God, but a new chapter. Death is just walking through a doorway. The unbeliever, whether he knows it or not, subconsciously is afraid of dying. He doesn't know what's waiting for him. He doesn't like to think of it. He likes to think nothing. There's nothing after I die. And some believe that they'll come back again in a different shape or form. Jesus Christ is our only hope. Someone once said, even if God didn't exist, they'd still want to believe in him. Now, we know God exists. We have a relationship with him, and we can be so grateful. Because there is no other hope like Jesus Christ. If we can have the next scripture, please. Galatians 5 verse 1, it's for freedom that Christ has come to set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. None of us were born saved. We are born sinners. Anyone with children here would know. Despite our best efforts, we are born sinners. We have a penchant to rebel, disobey, do our own thing, live like a law unto ourselves. But Christ came to set us free. Christ came to set us free. When you get saved, then you come into real freedom. But there are people that have come into relationship with the Lord and have walked away again. Some are the enemies, got his tentacles into them and drawn them away with temptation. And that is hard. And it's hard for them to get back. But they can. And the most, one of the most amazing stories in English literature that you'll find anywhere is the story that Jesus told us of the prodigal son, which you can also call the story or the parable of the loving father. And it's because he's the God of the second chance. Maybe you're here this morning and you know you need to take up that second chance. Maybe you remember a time where you were on fire for Jesus, but now it's kind of lukewarm at best. You need to come back to the Lord. Well, don't hesitate and don't delay. Make your choice today. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off till tomorrow. None of us know what tomorrow is going to bring. Just yesterday, we celebrated the life of Auntie Francina, Rosina's mom, that passed away this last week. And it happened so suddenly as well. She just wasn't feeling that well the one day, and Rosina organized to go to her over lunchtime to take her to the doctor. By the time she got to her mom was passed away. And the fact of the matter is, it can happen to any one of us. We must make sure that today our relationship with God is right. Today. We only have today. So if there's anyone like that here this morning, before we close the service, we're going to pray together. And I want you to consider your relationship with the Lord and make sure that you don't leave here this morning if your relationship with God isn't right. No one's judging anyone and no one expects perfection, and God doesn't expect perfection from us. So many people would say, well, you know, I admire the Lord so much and I want to be his child, but I'm first going to sort some things out. You know, I'm too embarrassed to go to him now. You know, I don't feel good to pray to him yet because, you know, the Lord knows your life. He knows you better than you know yourself, and he knows your motives and the intents of your heart. And you can come to him just as you are. He accepts you just as you are. You cannot get good on your own. Get God and then get good. He helps you. Come to him as you are, like the prodigal son with your rags on. Don't try and make yourself some nice robe and then go to him. No, what the Lord has for you is much better. The main thing is, don't waste time. We only have today. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Can put 1 Peter up there. So Peter says we must live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover for evil. Live as God's slaves. So the freedom that I'm actually talking about here, true freedom, is not living without rules and without authority and without guidance. True freedom is life in the Spirit, where you tie yourself to Jesus Christ. And you say, I'll follow you, Lord. Because the Lord will lead you around and past and over and under every challenge and obstacle and temptation, so the enemy cannot get his hooks in you. You are safe with the Lord leading you. If you don't have the Lord leading you, it's like walking in the dark without a flashlight. You're going to bump yourself. You're going to get hurt. When you've got the light of the world leading you, that's when you're going to be free. Free from pain, free from suffering. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He will help you. So true freedom is to tie yourself, to fasten yourself, to hold fast onto the Lord Jesus Christ and allow him to lead you through this life that has many pitfalls. That is freedom. That is when you'll stay out of prison. That is when you'll really be able to do and say and speak that which is pure and holy and wholesome and praiseworthy. And you know what? When the Holy Spirit is in you, the Holy Spirit gives you the appetite for that. The Holy Spirit gives you a new nature and direction and heart. The Holy Spirit leads you and empowers you to walk that way. God gives you the desire to do His good pleasure. And that's the awesome life of a Christian, is that you want to more and more, as your relationship with the Lord grows and continues, you want to do what God wants you to do. And you stop wanting to do the bad stuff that is ultimately destructive for you and the people around you. Praise God. And that's a miracle in itself. It's a changed life. That's why our lives today look vastly different from what they did 5 or 10 years ago before we knew the Lord. We're different people. We've been born again. We are new creations. Those that are in Christ are new creations. The old has passed away. Everything has been made new. He's given us a new appetite for Him. Hold fast unto the Lord. So one way to explain our freedom, which would seem almost like an insane definition to people that don't know the Lord, would be, well, I'm free because I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. And that is the truth. And the picture there is almost that of a bond servant, which I'm sure those that were here in Henny's days, he would have explained it very nicely. Our bond servant was a slave, is a type of a slave that was a slave by choice, that even if his master died, and he would have this peg in his ear to identify himself, and if his master died, he would get into the grave with his master. Because his master's life was his life. He was completely devoted and committed to that master. Does it sound familiar? To live is Christ and to die is gain. It's a choice. The Lord gives us the choice whether to follow Him or not. I want to choose to be a slave of Jesus Christ. And Paul would go as far as to say, you're either a slave of sin or you're a slave of Jesus Christ. One of the two. Choose. Because when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him, all He understands is covenant. He doesn't do casual. He doesn't do halfway. He doesn't do Facebook. Okay, Facebook friend. No. He's like, I gave my life for you. To be in relationship with me means you give your life to me. Let me lead you. The Lord is inviting us to trust Him. Psalm 119, amazing psalm, long psalm. All about the Word of God. And the psalmist writes, I'll walk about in freedom, for I've sought out your precepts. Some people, when they think about, some unbelievers maybe, when they look at the Bible, they're thinking about a whole set of rules, you know, and why would I even want to get stuck into that? These are the words of life. This will help direct you through this life, which is tough for everybody if they're honest with themselves. When we follow the Word of God, when we heed the Word of God, then we flourish, then we prosper, then we experience and find true life, abundant life. When you take to heart the truths in this book and follow them, you will prosper. You will have abundant life. You'll have a freedom and a peace and a joy and a love in your heart that you can get no other way. We are free when we follow and heed the Word of God. If our lives are in a mess in any area, you can go back to the Word of God and read what does the Word say about that, and you'll see my life is in a mess because I've not heeded the Word of God. The Word of God is true life. Next. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, Paul writes, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather serve one another humbly in love. We are free to serve each other. And then finally, Ephesians 3:12. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. We have a freedom through the blood of Jesus Christ to come to God, to draw near to God. even though we are wretched in our sin, the blood of Jesus has made the way for us to come to God, where we can find forgiveness, where we can find restoration. We can continue. We are free to love God and we are free to love people. We are free to serve God and we are free to serve people. And that is freedom. When you see someone, even an unbeliever, doing something good for someone else, it doesn't often happen. Most of the time it's a believer that's doing something good there. But sometimes there's unbelievers that are doing good things and they've got their reasons and their motives. But when you see someone and out of their heart they're serving someone else, they understand a little something about freedom. They're scratching a tip of an iceberg there. And we can encourage them. And we can tell them where true freedom is found. All-encompassing freedom. Comprehensive freedom, eh? Like insurance. You can get third party or comprehensive. Comprehensive freedom is to be free to serve Jesus Christ as Lord and to be free to serve others. Freedom to be really free is to give up your life. Paul says, I don't live for myself. I live for Jesus Christ. I live for His name and His fame. Can we pray together this morning? Dear Father in heaven, we want to thank You for freedom. We want to thank You, Lord, for saving us, for giving us Your Spirit. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for directing us and guiding us, empowering us, comforting us, coming alongside us and helping us. Thank You, Jesus Christ, that You made the way for us by giving up Your life on the cross. Through Your shed blood, our sin can be forgiven. If we come to You and repent and place our trust completely and only in You. And so this morning we want to thank You that You invite us to surrender once more completely to You, to Your Lordship, Lord Jesus. Lord, we know the dangers, Lord God, and the temptations out there, Lord, things that are drawing us away from You, taking our eyes off of You, and causing us to think selfishly. And Lord, we ask that You will help us to give us the grace to keep our eyes fixed on You, Lord. You are the author of our faith. You are the finisher of our faith. Lord, we know it is written and it is true. And we are truly free if we willingly make ourselves slaves of Jesus Christ. Lord, You're inviting us, Lord, to give our all, to surrender our whole lives to You. That we would seek You every day. That we would seek You in our family lives, in our workplace, in everything we do, that we would bring You there. That we're committed to You, that we'd seek Your will in that. That we'd seek You in all our relationships. That we'd seek You in our acquaintances and when we just meet people along the way. That we'd bring You into it. Because this whole life is about You. The whole earth testifies of You and of Your love for us. And there's people around us that don't know it. But we thank you, Lord, that we are free to serve everyone. Because, Jesus, you've invited the whosoever. And you've chosen to use us as your ambassadors. So we ask, Lord, that you will empower us by your Spirit to shine your light. We want to love those around us, and we want to love you, Lord. Help us to do that, Father. You can just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want to extend that invitation right now. If there's someone here, you know you need to make right with the Lord, you want to surrender your life to the Lord, just raise your hand high. Thank you for that hand. Then if there's anyone here and you feel you're struggling to let go of something, and you know it's not good for you, it's not good for your relationship with the Lord, it's kind of the whole time eating away at that, maybe it's an addiction or a wrong relationship or something that's come in, and maybe the enemy's attacking you in your thoughts, thoughts of inadequacy, or that you're just not worthy, or fear, maybe fear of the future, fear of dying even. Is there anything that you're struggling with at the moment? And you can just raise your hand. I just want to pray for those people, especially if you, so there's like some kind of something holding. It's almost like there's a shackle there. You're not experiencing complete freedom. You need to break free. Well, I believe that this morning there's grace to break free. Maybe the Spirit of God is here to... He'll set you free. Amen. Thank you for those hands. Oh, I want to ask us to all stand together, please. And I'd like to ask Melisa and the band if we can just worship together. Again, that last song, and then just as we're worshiping, I just want to invite those that that have indicated they want prayer just to come forward while we're worshiping, and we'll just pray for you while we're worshiping. And anyone else, if you've got a specific prayer need, don't leave you alone with that need unmet. The Lord is here to do business with God. I invite you to come forward. We'd love to pray with you. And otherwise, after we finish singing, you're welcome to enjoy some delicious coffee or cookies out in the foyer. And we'll just be praying here for anyone that wants prayer. Okay, so just as we're singing, please come forward if you'd like prayer. And there'll be facilitators here as well. If you'd also please come forward. Thank you. Bless you.